going. Okay, to start things off, I need a volunteer. Daniel.
Yes.
Come on down. Front of the stage. Right here. Right there. We don't do that. That is frowned upon. I'm going to say a few words to you. And I want you to tell me and tell the crowd, this massive crowd of people, these people you do not know. I want you to tell these people and tell me the first word that comes to your mind. Have you guys played this game before?
Yes.
You say a word, first thing that comes to your mind, you get to say it. So you can't even think about it. Don't think about it.
Not think about it.
I trust you. You ready?
Yeah.
Corn.
Tyrone.
Steak.
Potatoes.
You're thinking.
Potatoes, yeah.
Potatoes? God. Cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Panera.
Hipster.
Quiet time.
God.
Devotional.
God.
Prayer.
Conversation.
Tog.
That just reminded me of Todd.
That's not bad. Time alone with Todd. All right, you can take a seat.
Yeah.
That's actually funny. Yeah. Pop it up for Daniel. All-star. If you don't know Daniel, Daniel used to play baseball for the Nicaraguan national team. Ask him about it. Crazy story. He was. True story. Dang. What's funny? Taco Bell was on my list originally, but I deleted it. Came back. Okay. My question for you guys now to follow it up is, did you see a difference? Right? The title of this talk, we've been doing through a series called Go. And Todd asked me to talk this week, and we kind of talked about some different things, and we decided that we were going to continue to go with it. And we decided to go and eat. It's something we all do, hence the fourth I brought up, like Panera, cheese, steak, corn. And the same reason I brought up, you know, obviously they're associated. Quiet time, devotional, prayer, and talk. Time alone with God, for those unfamiliar. Or Todd. Seth Carroll used to say, God is spelt with two D's because of Todd. Hilarious, funny story. This is going online. Quote Seth Carroll, shout out. No, but there's a difference, right? When I said that to you, Daniel, there was a different hesitation a little bit. You know, there's a shift. You know, there was an aura around our quiet times that tend to make us a little bit uncomfortable. Now, we talk about it a lot, right? Life groups. Wednesday nights, koinonia. Occasionally, you know, if you go to Chick-fil-A with, like, your life group leader or just, like, a young life leader, you know, you talk about quiet times like, how's your walk with the Lord? You know, how's your walk? We all know what that means, but an outsider sitting in, you know, what does that mean to them? Who's Lord? You know, who are you walking with, right? We talk about this all the time. Our main verse today, the main theme verse today, if you don't have a Bible, there's some up here if you want to grab some. If someone wants a Bible, I can point someone to hand out Bibles. Dan Wergler, if you want a Bible, he will hand them out. Raise your hand. If not, open your phones. Pull out your phones, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy 8:3. All right? This is going to be our theme verse for today. This is where we're going to start, and this is where we're going to end. All right? A lot of you guys have probably heard this in some shape or form, or, like, seen it. It's one of these verses that kind of, like, goes on a plaque in, like, a Christian mom's kitchen. You know? The chances are even higher in, like, a homeschool mom's kitchen. True story. Very true. You'll understand in a second. Here's the verse. Deuteronomy 8:3, our theme verse. Man does not live on bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Right? I know, I've seen this. It's different. ESV, right? Life group, ESV?
Yeah.
We're all on that ESV train. Get on it. Or get left behind. Initially, I read this verse, all right, especially when we're talking about quiet times, you know, especially even in the culture of Wildwood, not just the culture of Wildwood, but especially in the culture of Koinonia. Our youth group, right, we preach the crap out of the gospel, and I love it. We preach the crap out of evangelism, and I love it. Here's what I think, though, sometimes when I hear a verse like this, when I hear someone like me, if I was in your shoes when I was in high school, Or even now, when I go to Crew on Thursday nights, and I said there's a college student. And I hear someone talk about this. You know, this is exactly what I think. I wrote it down, honestly. I even quoted my thoughts in my own little paper. It says, I think to myself, I know, I know, I know. I really need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. Right? I know I need to journal more. Maybe I should even get a journal, you know, start off, maybe get it monogrammed, whatever. You know, I know I need to evangelize more, right? Talked about that a lot this summer. Okay, I know I need to go to church more. Yes, I sleep in on Sunday mornings. Yeah, SML1, I just hit the snooze button. SML2 sometimes. I mean, there's Netflix, right? I could just stay at home, right? It's pretty tempting, right? I know I need to go to church more, right? Oh, and I need to probably start taking notes in church when I do go to church, you know? And I should probably take notes when Todd's talking, you know? I should probably listen better to Todd instead of pretending to be on YouVersion on my phone, even though all the leaders can sit up front and see that you're not on YouVersion, you know? Called out, every single one of you. Just kidding. You know? I should probably listen to more Tim Keller sermons, right? Probably.
Yeah.
You know? I should probably read more John Piper books. You know? Those are all the things I should probably do. When I hear a talk like this, I talk about go. I talk especially about going and eating, talking about bread alone and things like, you know, feasting on things. My dad used to say this when I was a kid. When I talked to him about this, me and my dad have a great relationship to this day. I was very honest with my dad about things. And my dad once told me, when I was talking about like idolatry and sin, and he's like, son, you're settling for the cotton candy. My dad does say son, by the way. You're settling for the cotton candy when the Lord is offering you steak. My dad used to say that all the time to me, you know? And if you think about it, if you'd be stranded on an island, I know one of you guys probably like, I totally choose cotton candy, 100%. There's always one person in a youth group who does that, you know? But no, you would die faster than anyone else who chose steak. So that's the truth, honestly, you know? And so it made sense to me. It makes sense. Listen closely to this. That is the farthest thing from the truth. I'm going to pray one more time, and we're going to jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time, God. I thank you for the opportunity I have, again, Lord, just to preach your word, God, as we get to dive deeper into your word, as we get to dive deeper in our hearts, Lord, I pray that Connor Puckett's words would fall flat. But, Lord, I pray that your name would be proclaimed, God, that your gospel be proclaimed. Lord, and I pray that these students would realize the same amount of appreciation I have for this, God, as I am preaching to myself right now, as I am simply reading something that I feel like I could have written to myself in a journal or to myself on a Word document or taught to somebody about one of my mentors. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts to this. In your name, amen. So one of the kind of the main question is, as we look at Deuteronomy 8:3, talking about bread, talking about eating, you know, eating the good things, right? Like I listed them off to you, I know I should read my Bible more, I should pray more, journal more, whatever, come to church more, go to Koinonia more, pay more attention. Do a prayer journal. Maybe even start praying. You know, right? As we go about these things, it's easiest to fall into the I should. I should, right? It's not January anymore. It's February 1st. But like, new year, new you, right? Oh, I should probably stop eating as much Chick-fil-A. You know? Twice this week. You know? I should probably stop doing that. Right? I should probably start running. I should probably stop playing 2K with my roommate. Mainly because it destroys our friendship. Because I always win, of course. You know, it's not true. But I am winning the total count, if you're curious. You know, there's these I shoulds that we always hit in. It always comes around in January, right? We call them New Year's resolutions. But we do it in our heart all the time. Especially when we ponder our relationship with the Lord. So here's my question. If we know we are spiritually hungry and need God's word, and ironically, we know this because of God's word, then why don't we read our Bible more? Why do I not pray more often? Why do I not evangelize and share my faith? This answer is not an I should, necessarily. I think this answer is more of an issue with our heart. I think our life group guys, I think I've asked, I don't remember who I was talking to about it, if you remember, great. But I was talking to somebody about this exact same question, which is, if I know God's word is right for me, if I know I need this, Because I think all of us would probably raise our hands right now and say, I need God's word, right? I need that. This is my daily bread. Bread. Man does not live on bread alone. If we will acknowledge that we need this and know it and think it, cognitively think it and process it, what happens here in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our actions that doesn't lead to it? I'm going to bet you guys, as we go a little forward, the reason we don't do that more, and I'm not kidding, this is my personal experience, even what I'm experiencing now. The things that keep us away from God's word and from this: anger, fear, and shame. Anger, fear, and shame. You know? We look at areas in our lives when we think about it. When you're laying in bed, or maybe when you wake up in the morning before school and you're eating a bowl of cereal, a granola bar, I don't know. Maybe when you're doing that, you think sometimes, for some reason as Christians too, like we're like, you know, I know David says, you know, his mercies are new every morning. And that's awesome and that's true. But we feel this tremendous amount of pressure in the morning specifically. I don't know. This is just me maybe. If you don't, props to you. But I feel a tremendous amount of pressure in the morning to be like, morning is holy time. I must be holy. Do something holy. Right? I need to open my Bible. I need to read verse of the day, you know? Something. You know, I need to like read one of those quotes that fly up on the Facebook or Instagram thing with like those pictures and it's like a mountain in the background and like a little river. And it's like, as a deer pants for water, so my soul. You know, it's like, so my soul thirsts for you. It's like, wow. Right? There's something about it. I don't know if you guys are with me on that, but I feel that pressure. I look at my areas in my life and I look at areas that are hard in my life. And we ask ourselves when we see these hard areas in our lives, we ask ourselves, why? You know? I think a lot of times we look at our sin in our life and we ponder these moments. And we think, no way. If we're being honest with ourselves, we think, no way. God cannot love me. We look at our addiction and we think, I've thought this, where's the hope? Why am I not changing? We see our parents argue with one another and we wonder, how could God let this happen to my family? We see videos of awful terrorist attacks on TV and on Facebook and on Twitter and we can't help but ask, where's the Prince of Peace? We receive news that our brother's daughter is having complications with their baby. We receive news that our brother's daughter is having complications in the womb. And the doctor, she says she isn't going to make it. And I ask, from my personal experience, I say, God, where is your goodness? Where is this good God I read of, I hear of, from my youth pastor, from Pastor McNeely every Sunday morning? Where is this good God? Y'all, life is heavy. Some of you guys are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21, 20, old. You know? That's who we... Guys, and life is hard for us. I know for me, I feel like I'm 21 years old, and I feel like whenever someone really asks me how they're doing and they want to know, I say, life is heavy. Life feels so heavy sometimes. We're in fear that God can't fix our lives. And to be honest, I think some of you are in fear that God is going to change your life. I think some of you guys are in fear because you don't want that to happen. We're ashamed. We're ashamed of our sin and brokenness that constantly surrounds our life. I know some of you feel unworthy because I sure do. Some of you feel dirty. Some of you feel unlovable. Some of you feel so embarrassed of the things you have done. Some of you are willing to be vulnerable. And there are some things even that you won't even share with your best friend or your mom or your sister or your brother. There are things some of you are inside your hearts that you've never told a single person. I've got them. We're ashamed. Some of you think it's too much for God to handle. Some of you think, I don't want to be a burden. Some of you are angry. I'm angry. So I mentioned it a little bit earlier, you know, talking about brother's daughter having complications in the womb. So many of you guys, if not all of you guys, know of or know my brother Michael/Mikey. You know? And many of you guys know Emily, his wife. You know? This past summer, I remember in August, Michael and Emily came down for a funeral in Tallahassee, which was really sad, and they're like, let's get dinner. I was like, oh, of course. And we went to Ale House, and we sat there, and we were laughing. We were having a good time. And me and Reese are talking about something funny, and Michael's laughing at it. And Michael throws down his phone on the table, and me and Reese are like, what? He just threw it down, like literally in the middle of our conversation. And we look, and it looks like a cucumber. Turns out it was a baby. It was an ultrasound of a baby. And Reese is like, is that a cucumber? You know? And we were excited when my brother told us we're pregnant and we're going to have a baby. And they told us that her name was going to be Blakely a few months later. And we were all excited. I talked to my parents about it. My parents, this is the first grandchild. First child kind of in the Puckett family. This year has been really hard for my family with my grandmother passing away, with my dad's church closing down. It's been really hard. And then to have something as joyful and as fun as thinking about a little girl coming into our lives. And then the first ultrasound came. You know? And it was awful. It was crushing for the doctors to say, there's neurological damage. Your daughter's brain is not developing correctly. We need to do more research, more testing, more ultrasounds, and an MRI. You know? And you think about something that's supposed to be so joyful, so life-giving, so fun, so beautiful, as childbirth, as you wait in anticipation for April 19th, 2017, for Blakely Elizabeth Puckett to be born. And the doctors say she's not going to make it. They say, but if she does make it, there's going to be complications in birth and she's probably going to die. If she does make it through birth, though, she's not going to go into the arms of Emily, wrapped in swaddling cloth. She's going to go straight to an operation room where they're going to have to perform a surgery. And if she makes it, and she probably will die through the surgery, but if she makes it through the surgery, then she's going to be severely handicapped the rest of her life. It made me angry. It makes me angry. It's easy for me to put up a smiling face or tell some funny jokes up here, but it makes me angry, and it's hard, and I hate it. You know? If you guys have your Bibles, which you do, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Probably most of you guys have probably heard of this. If you haven't, that's okay. But it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely and let us run with endurance the race set before us. This is another one of those Instagram verses. You know, you see with like a trail in the forest. You laugh because it's true. You know? Where's Maddie Zanders? Question for you. Maddie, have you ever run a race before?
Yeah.
Yeah? What are they like?
Awful.
They're awful. Thank you. Thank you so much. I agree. They always seem to be too darn long. Every time. I remember my freshman year of high school, I tried it for the track team. I don't know why. I don't really like running. But I did. And I got assigned the 800. And I was like, oh, that's cool. It's like half a mile. Yeah, Maddie's shaking her head. The 800 is the worst run you could ever do in your life. Because you can't sprint or else you're done by 400 meters. You can't jog because then you're going to get smoked by 400 meters. So you got to kind of do this awkward half sprint thing. And it's awful. It really is. Try it sometimes. Try out for track. Say, I want to run the 800. And then go home and cry and take an ice bath. I hated it, so I quit. I ran it a few times. I was like, why am I doing this? It was like 2 weeks of practice, and I told my mom, it's like, what is this? Like, this is the dumbest sport. And I love track, seriously. I can appreciate it. I love watching it. I'll cheer like that, someone on, you know. I'm not going to do it, though. That's for sure. It's too late. Anyways, I'm in college, but whatever. Races are hard. It's a process. It takes a good bit of time, unless you're doing sprints, and then it just feels like a really long time. The 800 wasn't long. It's less than 2 minutes. If you're fast. You know? But it sucked. It was awful. Seriously. It was absolutely miserable. It's hard. And like Maddie said, if we're being honest, and Maddie runs often. If we're being honest, it's not fun. It takes intentionality, does it not? Right? Control your breathing. It's important. You're taught to control your breathing. You're taught to control your speed. You have to learn what your speed and your style is. There's guys who sprint first and then jog. Then there's guys who jog first, then sprint. Then there's guys who sprint, then jog, then sprint. And any variation you can think of in between. There's guys who are like, I'm going to stay in third place to the last 100 meters. Guaranteed. No matter what it is. There's guys who are like, I'm going to run the end of the pack, save all my energy, and floor it. You have to control your position. You have to conserve energy. It's exhausting. But sometimes we read this verse like we did in Hebrews 12:1. We see it on Instagram with that cool little trail in the woods. You know, hashtag no filter, of course. You know, we see these things and we experience these things and we read these things. And we sometimes, like, we'll receive encouraging texts. Like, you'll send it to each other. You know, like, run the race. Right? And it's like, oh, that's endearing. And I think about that and I'm like, races suck. Run the race. Yeah. Can't help it. I'm breathing. You know? That's what the Bible says. I'm running the race right now. Don't tell me to run the race. You know? It's hard. It's not fun. It really isn't. Now we're going to read verses 1 through 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Starting in verse 1 again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a big difference there, is there not? Run the race, right? Races are hard. You know, it says like with endurance. It's like, oh, thanks. Here's endurance. Let me give it to you in the form of an Instagram picture, you know? And then we forget about verse 2. So how are we to run this race? This hard race, this long race, this race that is oftentimes not fun. This race that, although sometimes you see pretty things, sometimes the wind feels really nice in my face, right? I'm going pretty fast. It feels good. Sometimes you hit a runner's high. You run this race, and it's hard. But how are we to run this race? What is the position in which we're to run this race? And it's right there in verse 2. The first three words. Someone say it out loud. First three words of verse 2. Dan Wergler. I see the Bible. Oh, shoot. Called out. I'll read it. Unless anyone's got it. Don't worry. Looking to Jesus. Right? And then we hear that too, honestly, right? We hear that and we're like, we go back to the beginning. I know. I need to really read my Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to journal more. I need to evangelize more. I need to go to church more. I need to listen to more Tim Keller sermons. I should probably start downloading podcasts right now as Connor's talking. They're free. I need to read John Piper books. So look at Jesus. Okay, yes, I know I got to do these things, right? But why do you look to Jesus? I'm not going to tell you just look to Jesus in your life when things are hard and they're crappy, when the race is not easy, when your lungs are empty. Why look to Jesus? Because Jesus changes everything. You guys don't have to turn here. I want you guys to read something to you, and I want to see if you guys can see what I see in this. I'm going to read two Psalms to you real quick. Part of Psalms, not the whole thing. Don't worry. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread because of my loud groaning. My bones cling to my flesh. I'm like a desert owl in the wilderness, like an owl in the waste places. I lie awake. I'm like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. Now listen to this. I will sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set my eyes before anything worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall not be far from me. I will know nothing evil. Do you guys sense kind of a different tone? There's kind of a mood change, isn't it or not? Between the first Psalms, right? The first few things, and the second one. So this psalmist in here is writing to God. This is Psalm 101. The second one was Psalm 101. The first one is Psalm 102. Back to back. Same darn page. The reason we're reading this is because you can come to God with everything. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard that before. But you can come to God with everything. When your life feels like it's too much. When you feel like a lonely sparrow. When your bones are crying out. When your heart is struck down. When you feel like you're withering away. When you feel like no one cares. When you feel like no one hears you. You can call out to God. You can call out to God when there is steadfast love and your heart is full. You can call out to God when you are walking in integrity with the Lord. And when things seem great. That's a lot easier for us to do, isn't it? You can come to God with everything. Last thing, so we're wrapping up. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy. And I'm going to read to you guys. So we read verse 3, right? I'm going to read to you guys verses 1 and 2, and then verse 3. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you. These 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he may make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. It changes it a little bit for me, at least, when I read this, when I see this. I see the word remember, and I glaze right over it. Every time. That word remember appears in Psalms multiple times, appears all over the Bible. Remember, remember. This is why you read the Bible. This is why you pray. To remember. To remember what He has done in your life. In the lives of those around you. And when you think it can't get any worse, just be reminded of a story of a people, thousands of people, in a desert for 40 years. Just sitting there, just hanging out, 40 years. Be reminded of a story where there's a dude on a boat with hundreds, I don't even know how many animals, tons of animals in the water on a big boat for 40 days. Be reminded of a boy who killed a giant with a rock. Remember. Remember that there was someone who was forgotten and forsaken so that you may be remembered. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank You for this time, God. I thank You for the opportunity we have here today. God, just to hear Your word, God, I thank You that You've reminded me as I've been preparing this talk of my great need for You. Lord, as You've been reminding me just how much I need Your grace and Your gospel. Lord, and I pray that that my brothers and sisters here, and even myself in my own heart, God, that we would not feel the weight of this, that we wouldn't feel shame and guilt and turn and run and say, I know I'm not enough. And we think about it as Christians, especially, and we're like, that's so true. I'm really not enough, God. But how selfish that is. How self-centered. Lord, open our eyes to see Your cross daily. Open our hearts as we go forth today to receive Your word, not just from the physical Bible, God, but from each other in small groups, in life groups, in vulnerability, in accountability, in discipleship, in mentorship. Lord, turn Your ear to us. Hear our prayers. Remind us of Your love. In Your name, amen.